الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وكان بالمؤمنين رحيما. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Yesterday we did two names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. There is a second aspect to those two names, and that's what the Prophet ﷺ explained, that تَخَلَّقُوا بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ. You should adorn yourself with the akhlaq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, these attributes of Allah, Rahman and Rahim, they are the akhlaq of Allah, the character of Allah. And one part of our engagement with these names is what we did last time, that we remember that Allah Ta'ala is all merciful, full of mercy, mercy incarnate and mercy dispensing. And we try to seek that mercy from Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And the second aspect of our engagement with this name is that we also adorn ourselves with that same character. One way we can become recipients of Allah Ta'ala's mercy is when we become merciful towards other people. We also, these akhlaq, these attributes of rahmah and mercy are so beloved to Allah Ta'ala that they form His own attributes. That's why they're akhlaqi aliya, the highest level of akhlaq. And hence we should also try to develop these attributes in ourselves. And that is what we want to speak about the second part tonight. And in any case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us khalifa on this world, on this world. And khalifa or our deputy, we are the Khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to do the work that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to do. Which means that the akhlaq, the character, the attributes, the qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, those akhlaq, we also have to try to adopt. We also have to beautify ourselves with the akhlaq of Allah ta'ala. And that's why we have these two names now, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. So we explained what that means yesterday. Now what this means for us now is that we also should have this sifat, this attribute of Rahmat. The best of a person is that person who has who is a person of mercy towards others and compassion towards others. There are so many people who are needy, weak, dependent. And we see any of them in any hardship, any problem, to have mercy and compassion for them. Such people, they're really beloved in the sight of Allah because they have this beloved attribute of Allah Ta'ala. That's why the Prophet said that you have mercy on the ones on this earth and the one who's in the sky will have mercy upon you. Both Rahman and Rahim, these are, like we mentioned yesterday, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses them in his Bismillah. And these are also attributes of the Prophet sallallahu. So they're not only the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but then if you look among the creation, the best creation of Allah, the Rasulullah sallallahu, full of mercy. Many times it would happen, this is Sahih Bukhari, that the Prophet sallallahu would have started his salah in the masjid. And the Prophet sallallahu says that I wanted to prolong my qirat, my recitation. And then I would hear some baby crying from the back. And I would think that maybe the mother, she is also present in the salah. And her child is crying. And the child might be in some pain. So because of that cry of that baby, I would reduce the qirat of that salah. So that the mother, she can attend to her child very quickly. This rahmat was present in the being of the Prophet sallallahu. And this rahmat and mercy and compassion is so beloved in the sight of Allah that any person who has this, they will be able to go into Jannah because of this one sifat. Again, Bukhari Sharif, there is a hadith about a person who was from Bani Israel. And that person was going by, and it's mentioned it was a woman, was a adulteress, used to commit zina. And while she was traveling and she saw a well, and near the well there was a thirsty dog. And that dog was trying to get some water from that well but wasn't able to get it. So she felt that compassion for that animal. And she took out her shoes and poured some water and gave it to that dog. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved this compassion, this mercy so much that Allah ta'ala decreed for her to make tawbah. She made tawbah. And then Allah ta'ala made that amal that led to her getting entry into Jannah. So Rahman and Rahim, both attributes. Rahman is the one whose rahmat is for everyone. And a Rahim is the being whose rahmat will be that sifat which will open up for the mu'mineen on the Day of Judgment. Now, the way we can understand these two at a human level is to think about a father's love and a mother's love. A father's love is like a rahmaniyat. You can see one shade of rahmaniyat in a father's love. Now, there are two ways of being merciful. When we see this in our homes also. There's a father in the house and he loves his children. There's a mother and she also loves her children. But the different ways of expressing mercy and compassion. Father has love, but he wants to train them simultaneously. He wants to see their habits are good. He wants to see them studying. He doesn't want to see them wasting time. Father has mercy for him, but he also has a critical eye on him. That's why children have a fear of their father. Mothers, they also want their children, and sometimes they tell their father that, you know, you should say something to the kids. This is the sifat of rahmaniyat. And then there's a sifat of rahimiyat, which is in mothers. The mothers, they just owe her life to her children. And even if the child is spoiled, the mother says that was the decree, was the fate, what can I do? He's my son. I still like him. She loves him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also wishes for us to have these two attributes in us every person, they should have mercy and compassion. There are few people, and sometimes people, they become religious and they think that we have to become stern and rigid and hard-hearted, and their hearts become very hard towards their family members, other relatives. We don't understand that Allah Ta'ala does not like this attribute. Such people, they're not human beings. They become like stones. And just one example that I gave you of a woman who had rahmat, compassion on a thirsty dog. I imagine if a person has rahmat towards a fellow human being, how much would Allah Ta'ala love that person? The Prophet had this sifat very much. He showed, he led by example. Prophet could not see anyone in any difficulty. He would treat their difficulties as his own, because he was full of kindness, rahmah. And that's why the Prophet was rahmatul lil alameen, rahmah for the entire universe. Allah Ta'ala blessed him with that immense rahmah. So a person, they should have this sifat. I'll tell you one or two stories about this from early Muslims, very pious individuals, very close to Allah. They had mercy even for animals. So there was one very pious individual by the name of Hazrat Baqibullah, rahmatullah alayh. He was the dweller of this area, Central Asia, Samarkand, Bukhara. And it can get very cold in this region, minus 20, minus 30. Winds from Siberia, they blow there, temperature falls in minus, and a person can shiver at night. So imagine he has to pray Tahajjud in about negative minus 20, minus 30 Celsius. So he woke up at the time of Tahajjud, he offered his prayers on the Musalla, and he had this in his mind that after quickly offering my nafil, I will go back to my bed, I will cover myself in blanket, and I can sit and I can remember Allah, do my tasbihat. What happened when he came back from offering his salah, there was a cat there which was sleeping under his blanket. And he thought, if I touch the blanket, the cat might wake up. So he went and sat on the musalla again. It was extremely cold. He shivered and shivered but did not wake up. He spent all the night shivering, and the next day he had a dream in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him an ishara and said that we have accepted your ibadah, and Allah gave him the glad tidings. He went on to become a very close friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That if you show mercy on a cat, Allah ta'ala gets happy. Imagine how happy would Allah ta'ala be if you show mercy on a man, if you show some mercy to some other fellow individual. There's a hadith-e-Qudsi that Allah ta'ala will say to a person that, oh my servant, I was hungry and you did not feed me. And that person will say, ya Allah, you are pure from eating. Allah ta'ala will say that I was thirsty and you did not quench my thirst. He will say, oh Allah, were you thirsty? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that, yes, I was thirsty and you never quenched my thirst. Then Allah will say that I was ill, I was sick, and you never came to see me, never paid me a sick visit. The man will become surprised. He will say, ya Allah, how is it possible that you are ill? And how can I take care of you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, yes, I was sick, but you never took care of me. And then Allah ta'ala will explain, this is a hadith I could see, that when that person in your neighbor, when he was hungry, had you fed him, it would have been as if you fed me. When your neighbors, when they were thirsty, had you quenched that person's thirst, it would have been like you quenched my thirst. And when your neighbors, they were ill, had you looked after them when they were ill, it would have been as if you looked after me in my illness. Allahu Akbar. There's no greater concept of mercy, compassion, and human sympathy than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us in this hadith. Allah is saying that if you attend a patient, your neighbor, your relative, it's like you have attended to Allah ta'ala in illness. When you feed your neighbor, it's like you're feeding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you're giving water to someone, it's like you're giving water, quenching the thirst of Allah. Subhanallah. So what is key in our deen is that we also become people of mercy and compassion towards others. And whoever has this mercy and compassion will be able to enter into Jannah very quickly and easily. There's another hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said that there will be a man on the day of judgment and he will be presented for his accounting, hisab, kitab on that day. And he will be deficient with one good deed. So the angels will say that if you had one more good deed in your account, then your good and bad deeds would become equal. And Allah Ta'ala out of His Rahmah will grant you Jannah. However, you are short of one good deed and your sins are more. So you cannot at this point enter Jannah. So that man will say to the angels that, do I have permission that can I roam around and ask people for one good deed? Can I go ask other people? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him permission that yes, if anyone gives you, you can take it. So that person, he will first come to his brother and say, brother, we were in partnership in the business. We are related, blood relatives. We traded with each other. Whenever you got stuck in loans, I used to bail you out. If I got stuck, you helped me. We cooperated with each other for the whole of our lives. See, you have, mashallah, so many good deeds today. I just need one. Please, can you give me one good deed? And the brother will say, no, I can't give it to you. I can't give you any. So he will become upset that he was such a nice brother. But then he will think that, okay, my brother, he hasn't given me. Let me just go to my mother. And he's thinking that she used to say that, my son, I owe you my life. All my things are yours. Mother, she used to express her love for me. So let me just go to my mom. So he will come to his mother that, oh, mother, I'm really tensed and stressed today that I'll be sent to the fire. I just need one good deed. And mother, you have so many, mashallah, you have so many of them. Can you give me one of them? And the mother, she will reply that I cannot give you any single deed until my judgment is made, until my decision has been made about me. So I don't know what will happen with me. So his mother, she will deny giving her one good deed. And he will become even more distressed. Then he will go to his father. That, oh my father, you are so kind to me. You love me so much. I just need one good deed. You have so many of them. And the father will also say the same thing, that I can't give it to you. My decision hasn't been made yet. And until that time, I don't know what my destiny is. I can't give you any of my good deeds. Then he will go to his wife. Let's see, you spent such a nice life with me. We loved each other so much. My life is for you. Your life is for me. And you were such a nice wife to me. I was such a nice husband to you. And today I'm stuck. And I just need one good deed. Mashallah, you have so many. Can you give me one? And the wife will also reply, say, no, I can't give you. I'm sorry. I don't know what my akhira, what my anjam would be. Finally, he will go to his children and say that I looked after you so well in the dunya. You were obedient to me. Today your father is needy of one good deed. But they will also say that we can't give it to you. When everyone will deny, he will become really upset. Allah says this in Quran, يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِي وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِي وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ. That's the sequence. That he will flee. A person will flee from his brother, from his mother, from his father, from his spouse, and from his children. All are being mentioned in this one ayat of the Quran. No one will give him. Now, at this point, he will start crying, and he will be crying so much that a man will see him and ask him, that, why are you crying? And he will tell that, I just need one good deed. I have so many relatives, I have so many good deeds, but none of them are giving me anything. So this man will say that, okay, I just have one good deed in my book of deeds, nothing else. So I have to go to Jahannam anyhow. So if you can benefit from my one good deed, I can give it to you. You can take it from me. That man will give him his one good deed, his one and only good deed. And the angels will announce that this man has finally, he got his one good deed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask what happened. Allah knows everything. This is just to stress and emphasize the point. So the angels will tell that there is a man here who had mercy, compassion, and out of pity and sympathy, he gave this person his one and only good deed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that who is this one man showering his rahmah today, showering his mercy today, or his compassion on this day? So it will be told that this is that person. He just had one good deed in his name, in his book of deeds. He gave it that. He gave that too. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that he is showering his mercy being a human being. And I am Rahman and I am Rahim. I have more rahmah than him. So the man giving his one good deed, Allah say, I will forgive him. I will forgive him and I will forgive all his sins and I will grant Jannah for him also. Subhanallah. So it comes in a hadith that this man who will only have one good deed will be able to enter into Jannah. Why? Because he was a person of mercy, compassion and rahmah towards other people. Subhanallah. So we have to become people who are merciful towards others, because this will enable us to enter into Jannah. Today, we don't see this attribute in many of our lives. A husband doesn't care about his wife. The wife, she doesn't care about her husband. They're busy in their own worries, in their own work. Parents have, they don't have that compassion, mercy for their children. And likewise, the opposite. So a mu'min is supposed to be that individual who has mercy and compassion for everyone. He's sensitive. He has empathy. And this is the sifat, the very first sifat we have to work on. And no better time than to use this month of Ramadan and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah, we ask you to adorn us with the sifat of mercy and compassion. Make us people who are soft. A second aspect of mercy is to be soft with everyone. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this softness and compassion. There is another name which we may or may not do, which is Allah ta'ala is Rafiq, Rifaq. Rifaq means softness. Allah is soft. Allah loves softness for his own self. And whoever are soft towards others, Allah makes them his friend. And that person who has been deprived of softness, the Prophet ﷺ said that person has been deprived of all good deeds, of all khair. And Allah Ta'ala wishes that a person should have softness and compassion in their nature. Allah loves such people who have their tabiyah, where their tabiyah is soft. And you look at the Quran, how much Allah values this sifat of compassion, mercy and softness, that Allah is sending Fir'aun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending Musa alayhi salam to Fir'aun. And two Anbiya alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Harun alayhi salam, both of them are being told to go, izhab ila Fir'aun fa innahu tagha. He has become a rebellious traitor. He's an enemy of Allah. He is saying, faqala ana rabbukum al-a'la, I'm the Lord, I'm the greatest Lord, you should worship me. Saying that to Bani Israel, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending two of his very ulul azam, great peghambers, prophets. And what is the advice and nasiha that Allah ta'ala is giving? That, oh my Musa and Harun alayhi salam, when you go there and you speak to Fir'aun, فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا, speak to him with compassion, with softness. Subhanallah. That Fir'aun, who used to say that I am the Rabb, Allah Ta'ala is sending two Anbiya alayhi salam with this advice that speak to him with softness. Now there is a very big lesson for us here, that no matter how religious, no matter how pious, how righteous we are, we can never equal the rank of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And when we speak to other people, our relatives, our family members, or any other human being, no matter how bad that person is, how big a sinner that person is, how distant he is from Allah, how much a big, staunch unbeliever he is, that person cannot be worse than Fir'aun. And the command of Allah is that when you speak to Fir'aun, speak with softness, which means that we also, when we speak to anyone in this world, we should speak with softness, we should speak with mercy and compassion in our tongue. And that's why Allah Ta'ala loves this attribute and the people who have this attribute. If you read Quran, you will notice that in Surah Kahf, there is a particular word which is supposed to be the central word of the whole Quran. And that word is sometimes written in bold. It's called Wal Yatalattaf. And it's the central middle word, which means that if you all the words before that and all the words after that, they're equal. This is the central point of the whole Quran, Wal Yatalattaf. And a question comes that what is so special about this word that Allah has chosen this word to be the central word? And the answer is because the meaning is very beautiful. Wal Yatalattaf means that you should speak to others with softness, with compassion, with mercy. Whenever you have a conversation with other people, have compassion, have softness, muhabbat, love in your tone. So the sifat of a mu'min is that they have this attribute. And again, we should try to look at our own situation, our family members, our relationships, close relatives, our environment at home. And we should try to work upon improving this environment so that we can gain entry into Jannah and so that we can become the beloveds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very easy way to become the beloved, to receive this mercy. We become people who are merciful to the creation of Allah ta'ala. I'll give you another hadith, which is from Tirmidhi Sharif, which is also about how easy it is for a person to enter into Jannah. So the Prophet ﷺ describes first that there are certain houses in Jannah, and you know, 1 inch in Jannah would be more precious than the entire universe. This is whole houses in Jannah, and these houses will be made according to the shan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the way these houses are described is that they're very shining, luminous, munawwar. And they're very clear, so pure and so clear that if you're standing inside, you can see outside. What's on the outside? If someone's outside, they can see what is inside. And who will get such a house in Jannah? Who will be those fortunate people to get such houses in Jannah? The four attributes are mentioned. Four types of individuals, and may Allah Ta'ala make us among them. Number one, at'amu ta'am, those people who feed other people. Number two, wa'alan al-kalam, those who are very soft and compassionate in their speech, in their conversation. Wa tab al-siyam, who keep their nafil fasting. And wasalla wanasi yanam, and who pray in the last 1/3 of the night, yani who pray tahajjud. So if you see these four attributes, three of them are about akhlaq, and one of them is about softness in speech, in being merciful towards other people. And such people will be those who will get such houses in Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this word Rahim from his own sifat, which is Rahman. Rahim it literally means in Arabic, the womb, the relationships which are created as a result of blood. And there is a concept in the Sharia which is called Silatul Rahim or Sila Rahmi. that you join ties of kinship, that you practice sala rahmi, join ties of kinship. And this is something which is very important in our deen, that you try to be good, merciful, and compassionate towards people around you, especially your relatives. This is known as sala rahmi. And what this means is, you know, how do you show your compassion and mercy? You know, if your relatives are poor and needy, you fulfill their needs. If they're sick, you pay them a sick visit. You ask them about their health. If they pass away, you pray their janazah. If they're in difficulty, some sorrow, some grief, you provide consolation. If you are happy, you include them in your happiness. If they're engaged in any sin, then you stop them from that path with gentleness, invite them towards goodness. If they request some mashwara, some suggestion, advice, you give them that mashwara which is beneficial. In other words, to think well about them, to think about their benefit, to maintain salam in contact with people around you, with the relatives around you, to inquire about their well-being, to make dua for them. All of this is included in this word, sila rahim. And this word, again, is very important. This concept is very important because the Prophet ﷺ, he said in a hadith that when Allah, this is hadith Bukhari, again, this is hadith Qudsi, that when Allah Ta'ala created these relationships that we have, like with, you know, your parents, your spouse, your chacha, your uncle, puppy, etc. When these relationships were created by Allah, these relationships, they asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a question. They asked, oh Allah, we fear that people will not fulfill our rights. They will break us. They will sever these ties. They will not be compassionate and merciful towards other people. They will not be able to discharge the hukuk of others. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that are you not pleased with the fact that whoever joins you, yani whoever joins these relationships, whoever keeps these relationships intact, then I will join that person to myself. That person will be joined to me. And Allah says, I will join him to me. These are clear words in the Quran. Not in Quran, in Hadith. Then an asila man wasalik, that whoever joins family ties, then I will join that person with myself. He will attain the qurb of Allah Ta'ala. He will attain the nearness of Allah. This is a very ajib that we make dua for this. So in addition to getting Jannah, one other thing that you will get is that you will attain the closeness and the nearness of Allah. All of us, we make dua to Allah, we want to attain the qurb, but we don't use this prescription. We're not merciful towards other people. We're not merciful towards especially our family members, our relatives, close people around us. If a person tries on their own to draw close to Allah, that's very difficult. That path needs a lot of mujahida, because you are in the driver's seat, you are driving, you want to reach Allah. It requires a lot of hard work. But what if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pulls someone? Then it's only a matter of a few moments. That's the difference between an acquaintance and a close friend. If you meet some acquaintance, you will say, here, this is my address, and you can come meet me at my home. And when you meet your close friend, your childhood friend, you don't give him the address. You grab him by the hand, and you bring him to your house. So if we want to draw near to Allah, that requires a lot of mujahida, mushakkat. Maybe you will reach the destination. Maybe you will not reach the destination. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to pull someone, then what is left to stop us? We mentioned last time, Bashar Hafi, Allah ta'ala pulled him. He was an alcoholic drinking alcohol. Allah pulled him. And then he went on to become one of the friends of Allah. Fudhail bin Ayaz, he was a thief. In fact, he was the leader, gang leader. Allah's special gaze of rahmah fell upon him. And that person went on to become one of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wali of Allah. Junaid Baghdadi, he was a wrestler, like a sumo wrestler. And Allah's gaze of rahmah fell upon him. Allah pulled him towards him. Or take the other example, the greatest example that we have in the seerah, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, that he left his house with the naked sword in his hand with some different intention. Allah Ta'ala's gaze of rahmah fell upon him. Allah pulled him. He went on to become Umar bin Khattab, Khalifatul Rasul, Amirul Mu'mineen, radiallahu ta'ala an. How can we get this gaze of Allah's rahmah? We get this gaze of Allah's rahmah when we also have rahmah towards other people around us. When we practice salah rahmi. Whoever joins these ties, shows compassion and mercy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring that person and join him to himself. So subhanallah. So a person gets Jannah, they also get Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One thing is left, which is dunya. What about this dunya? So there is another hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that those, the Prophet ﷺ said that if there is any person who wishes that his, there is barakah in his age and there is barakah in his rizq. And that's another question, that's another topic which many people are interested in. That tell us something that will increase our age. And some people do a lot of effort to acquire long age, exercise, dieting, slimming, regular checkup with the doctors. And the goal is to have a healthy, long-lasting life. And there's one prescription which is not given by some doctor, but this is given by the Prophet, Sayyidina Rasulullah, that man ahabba an yubsata lahu fi rizqihi wa yunsa'a lahu fi atharihi. Fal yasil rahimahu. That if anyone wants that there should be, that his risk is opened up, his risk provision, there's barakah in that, and he stays for a long time in this world, and his age is long, healthy. So he should also practice sila rahmi. He should practice mercy and compassion with his relatives. You make intention for this today, inshallah, you will see with your open eyes how Allah Ta'ala will give barakah in your dunya. How Allah will give long-lasting, healthy age and also will increase barakah in rizq and provision. We finish this barakah when we break our ties, when we have rigidness and strictness and hardness in our relationship. In fact, there is another hadith which is very interesting and fascinating that, you know, Allah Ta'ala has a rule that good or bad actions, they are compensated in akhirah. But sometimes a person, there are certain actions where a person will get the effect of that action in this dunya also. And that action which has the quickest effect in this dunya is this act of sila rahmi, is this act of having mercy and compassion towards relatives. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Inna a'jala ta'ati thawaban silatul rahim." That the quickest, the action which has the quickest effect in this dunya is sila rahmi. So the benefit of showing mercy and practicing sila rahmi is that you will get the effect very, very quickly in this life, in this dunya. You know, there is a hadith, you know, the continuation of that hadith, you know, sometimes, many times, in fact, many people have this question that that person is not so religious. He is such a very distant from Allah. But his wealth is also increasing. His wealth is increasing. His risk is increasing. Their children are also increasing. Why? If he's leading a life of fisk and fujur, then why are all these blessings increasing in his dunya? The reason the Prophet ﷺ said is because they are people who do sila rahmi. Yani people who practice this, even those who are distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will still increase their risk. Allah will increase their awlad. Allah will give barakah in their life. So people ask this question, right? That because of sins, their risk goes down. But these individuals who have plenty of risk despite being distant from Allah, perhaps the reason is because they do sila rahmi with their relatives. And as a result of that, Allah Ta'ala puts barakah. (Clears throat) And not only does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give barakah and rizq and life and health to this person in this dunya, Allah ta'ala also gives honor, izzat and respect to such a person in this life. When you are merciful towards other people, when you practice sila rahmi, joining ties of kinship, then Allah ta'ala will give you izzat. Normally, this is very difficult to do, to show mercy and compassion towards other people, and especially those people who are sort of hurting us or harming us. But if you join that taluk, that relationship, it's difficult. But if you can sort of subdue your nafs, you will become the magnet through which you can attract the rahmat and the mercy of Allah. And in any case, izzat and honor is not what the dunya calls izzat. But honor, respect is what Allah gives to us. And by being merciful towards others and having practicing sila rahmi, a person is never disgraced or humiliated. Allah will give izzah to such a person. The first revelation, when it came, at that time the Prophet was very worried. He wasn't sure if I'll be able to bear the responsibility of Nabuwa or not. And the reason is because the first revelation, naturally the Prophet was very worried and fearful about his situation. Such a tremendous responsibility has been placed on my shoulder. I don't know whether I'll be able to take this burden, whether I'll be able to discharge my responsibility properly or not. Naturally, he was scared. So he came back from Mount Hira, and this is a riwayat in Bukhari Sharif. He said to his wife, Amma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala an, laqad khashitu ala nafsi. I'm scared about myself. I don't know what will become of me. And Amma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was a tremendous wife and very encouraging. At a time when the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatest of all prophets, he was scared. Amma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she is giving consolation, reassurance, encouragement and support to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And her words of support are so beautiful that from every single word one can sense that her words are mulhim min Allah, they're inspired by Allah Ta'ala. And what did she say? She said that kalla, that it can never be the case, and it's impossible. Wallahi, I swear by Allah, ma yughzik Allahu abada, that Allah will never ever desert you, never abandon you, never forsake you. And with every word one can see her yakin, her iman, her conviction. Allah will never let you down. Why? Because you're intelligent? No. Because you have a lot of supporters? No. Because you have a lot of influential friends? No. Because you're a good planner? No. You're an eloquent speaker? No. Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she mentioned akhlaq of the Prophet sallam, and the first akhlaq she mentioned, innaka latasilur rahim. Because you practice sila rahmi. You join these ties of kinship. And then she continued, وَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلْ. You, those who are weak, you bear their burden on your head. وَتَكْسِبُ الْمَعْدُومِ. And those who don't have anything to eat, you earn for them and give them risk and earning. وَتَكْرِيَ الزَّيْفِ. And you honor your guests. وَتُعِينُ عَلَىٰ نَوَائِبِ الْحَقِّ. And you help other people in matters of haqq. She mentioned the akhlaq of the Prophet ﷺ. And the first attribute she mentioned is that the Prophet ﷺ is merciful and compassionate towards his relatives. He has sila rahmi. He maintains ties with relatives. He doesn't sever relationships. He mends and patches up. He has sympathy and compassion. So for the Prophet ﷺ to be bestowed with this task of dawah and inviting people to Islam, these were the characteristics which were foundational. And this is a lesson for all of us. That the Prophet, this is before Nabuwa, the Prophet ﷺ having sympathy and compassion with his family, with his relatives, mending ties, being compassionate and merciful towards orphans, widows, weak, oppressed, helping them, assisting them, honoring his guests, These were the akhlaq before Nabuwah. And the lesson for us is that for those who wish to follow in the footsteps of the Prophet ﷺ, who wish to maybe invite other people towards Deen of Islam, for that it is very important that we should also have this merciful nature. We should become people of mercy, compassion, and sympathy towards others. We should practice Sila Rahmi, join ties with other people. If we cannot affect our relatives, if we cannot bring them to Deen, very difficult to bring other people who are far away. So whoever has such character, such attributes, Allah will never let that person down. So we make dua at the end in summary that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us the tawfiq to be able to practice this khulq, to be able to adorn ourselves with this khulq of mercy, compassion, sympathy for other people around us. Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrated a hadith. Some people have this question also, that sometimes other people are rude towards us, to people who want to break ties with us, are we supposed to be merciful and compassionate towards them also? So the Prophet ﷺ replied that sil man qatak, that join ties with those who break them and forgive those who do zulm on you, who oppress you. That those who break ties, you join ties with them. And elsewhere the Prophet ﷺ explained this further, that that person who does not do, you know, if someone does good to you and you do good to that person in return, that's not sila rahmi. That's not being good towards them, because that's tijarat. That they did something for you and you're returning the favor. That's like trade. But the real sila rahmi is that those who try to cut ties, sever ties, and you go out of the way and you mend ties, you try to patch up with them. So may Allah Ta'ala grant all of us that khulq. We make dua to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala that may Allah Ta'ala give us the strength in this month of Ramadan to be able to become people who have this sifat of rahmah inside of us, so that we can take advantage of this month, of this opportunity to be people of rahmah for our spouse, for our parents, for our children, for our relatives, for all the people around us, for all of the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala make us misdaq and grant us this takhalluku bi ikhlaqillah. Wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Subhana rabbil alamin, Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa in lam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna minal khasirin. Allahumma innaka afuwun karimun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu 'anna. Allahumma innaka afuwun karimun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu 'anna. اللهم آت نفسي تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب من يقربنا إليك اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا كاملا ويقينا صادقا ورزقا واسعا وقلبا خاشعا ولسانا ذاكرا ورزقا حلالا طيبا وتوبة قبل الموت وراحة عند الموت، ومغفرة ورحمة بعد الموت، والعفو عند الحساب، والفوز بالجنة، والنجاة من النار برحمتك يا عزيز يا غفار. رب زدني علما والحقني بالصالحين. صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.